Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
There is only God's side and the wrong side. If your marriage is on the rocks, Truth Seeker, one of you is on the wrong side, or both of you is on the wrong side. And there is not your side and her side. There is the God side or the wrong side. So you need to check and look.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, Truth Seekers. My name is Corey Calicut, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
In the words of my pastor, Brother Todd Reed, it is on. I'm excited. I am fired up. You look, God is on His throne. Jesus is alive and well, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling. There ain't nothing better than this. Ain't nothing better nowhere else, Truth Seekers. That ain't good English, but it is good theology. Welcome aboard today. I hope you can say unequivocally, without doubt, I'm walking barefoot before the Lord this morning. And some of you are thinking, what in the world? If you've been with us the last, 4 weeks, I believe, we begin about 4 weeks ago, a teaching series that I'm entitled No Shoes Allowed. And we really got into the heart of the teaching last week. I began to show you that throughout the Old Testament, there are times where a sandal appears. Sandals, shoes. It shows up at the burning bush with Moses. God said, take your sandals off. It shows up in Deuteronomy as Moses is writing the law, and God says in the law, when someone gives up their rights to someone else, their God-given, law-given rights to another person, they will make this official by transferring their rights. They also will show this by transferring their sandal to that person. It's a ceremony that makes it official in the eyes of the public. I showed you last week in Joshua. Joshua standing before Jericho wondering, what in the world am I going to do about the walls of Jericho? He's confronted with Jesus Christ in the form of a warrior. Joshua asks the warrior, are you for us or are you against us? And the warrior basically says, I ain't on nobody's team. I have come to take over. Joshua falls on his face and begins to worship. And he says, what would you have your servant do? And Christ tells him this, take your sandal off, for you're on holy ground. The message of the sandal is this. It symbolizes someone who has relinquished their rights. And I told you last week that when Christ told Moses, when Christ told Joshua to take your sandal off, what he was in essence saying is turn all your rights, relinquish all control to me. The message is very simple. I said this last week. You may be saved. You may be spirit-filled. You may be serving God in your church. You may be the leader of your home. Look, Joshua was all those things, but he hadn't taken his sandals off yet. He had not been confronted with the captain of the host and told, take your sandals off. Relinquish control over to me. And when Joshua did that, Joshua no longer had to figure out how to take on Jericho because he had given control over to Jesus Christ. Jesus was now the commander-in-chief of the army, and Jesus could handle the Jericho walls. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I'm empowered to say this. I don't care what your Jericho walls look like. If you will relinquish control over to Jesus Christ, give up. Let Jesus take over. He can handle the walls that stand between you and victory. He can handle it. Joshua fell on his face in worship. Jesus said, take off your sandals. Joshua took off his sandals for Christ. He relinquished control. He said, I'm no longer the leader. I'm no longer the counselor. I'm no longer the commander. Now you are. I'm your servant. And when he did that, things changed. Because two verses later, and I don't have my Bible open to this, but chapter 6 in Joshua verse 2, Jesus, in that same situation, after the sandals came off, pointed up and said, look. Joshua turned and looked up at the hill at Jericho, and Jesus said, I have given the city into your hands. And you guys know the story. He tells them what to do. You're going to walk around the city one time for 6 days in complete silence. Nobody's to say a word. The ark's going to go. The priests are going to carry the trumpets. You're going to walk around one time every day. On the seventh day, you'll walk around seven times. And on the end of the seventh lap, the trumpets, you blast those ram's horn with one long mighty blow. And Joshua, you tell them to shout for joy. And when they did that, the Jericho walls fell down. God had given them the city. But before the breakthrough happened, Joshua had to figure out two things. And this is where I want to really begin to minister to you today and teach you something. Two things. Two questions that Joshua had to decide and answer before Jesus ever said to him, look, I have given the city into your hands. Two things Joshua had to make decisions on, and two things you and I have to decide. If you want to see the Jericho walls fall, I want to bring up two points. Number one, whose side are you on? Joshua had to decide that. Whose side are you standing on? And you say to me today, David, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I asked you, whose side are you standing on? Joshua was already called by God and placed as the leader of the children of Israel. You don't think Joshua was a man about God's business? Don't you think that Joshua was hard after the Lord? Don't you believe that Joshua was a man of God? He was chosen out of millions to take the place of Moses himself. Yeah, Joshua was a man of God, but Joshua still had to answer this question, whose side are you on? Let me ask you, truth seeker, whose side are you on? Here's what I mean. You and I have got to come to a place where we look at all the different sections and compartments of our lives. I'm talking about our church life, our if you're like me, my husband life, my father life, my work life, my ministry life, my recreation and leisure life, all these compartments of our life. We got to look at those things. We got to make this decision. Whose side am I on? See, as a Christian, we need to come to this very real understanding of the statement that I want to make. Here's the statement. Okay, listen to this. Here's my statement. In every situation you find yourself in, truth seeker, there are only two sides on which to stand. There is God's side, and then there is the wrong side. I'm going to repeat that again because there's a lot to be said about that. In every situation you find yourself in, there are only two possible sides to stand on. There is God's side, and then there's the wrong side. Now, let me give you some examples. Let me make this real. In your marriage, if you're married, or if you have just a relationship with a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, but especially if you're married, let me talk to the married Christians out there. In marriage, there is not his side and her side. There is only God's side and the wrong side. You see, if your marriage is struggling, if your marriage is failing, if it's on the rocks, and statistics show us that the divorce rate in the Christian circles is as much or higher than the divorce rate in the world. Now, how sad is that? But let me let you in on a little clue here. If your marriage is on the rocks, truth seeker, one of two things is true. Either one of you is on the wrong side, or both of you is on the wrong side. And there is not your side and her side. There is the God side or the wrong side. So you need to check and look. Are we both standing on the side of God where our marriage is concerned, where our relationship with one another is concerned? Get your ego and your pride and your agenda and your way of doing it and your hard-headedness out of the way and say, am I standing on God's side where my marriage is concerned? Listen to this. Within the church as a whole, there is not the Pentecostal side and the Baptist side, or the non-denominational side and the Church of Christ side. There is God's side or the wrong side. A recent study that I looked at said this. I don't know where they got their facts from, but it was some Christian think tank, and this was the results of their study. They said there are, in the world today, there are over 41,000 Christian denominations. You think we ain't messed things up? 41,000? Yeah, 41,000. Let me tell you, there's a few people standing on the wrong side, and I don't care what the wrong, which one of the wrong avenues you've taken. It could even look good. The wrong side can be good, bad, or ugly, but if it's not God's side, it's wrong. Whose side are you standing on? Whose side are you on? Are you doing it God's way? Because the captain of the host did not come to join your side. He came to take over. And the first thing Joshua had to do was choose, am I going to stand on my side of this or your side of this? Whose side are you on today? And if God's convicted you right now about which side you're standing on, even if it's a good side, there's a lot of people in the church that are well-meaning and well-intentioned, and they are busy doing good things in the house of God, but they're not doing what God has called them to do and the way God has called them to do it. And if you're not doing it God's way, you're not standing on God's side. Some of you have been challenged and convicted to do some things differently for a long time now, but you're scared to step out because of the heads that are going to turn and the people that are going to come against you. Let me tell you something. You're not standing on God's side. So it's time to allow God to empower you with the encouragement and the direction and faith to step on His side. So that's number one. Whose side are you on? Number two. Have you taken off your shoes for Him? The majority of Christians today have this ingrained idea that we have certain inalienable rights. And as Americans, we do. As Christians, though, in the world of Christianity, we don't. We don't have rights as Christians. See, when we came to the Lord, you became a Christian not because you said a prayer, but because you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Romans chapter 10, we read it. You must claim that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. Then you shall be born again. It takes making Jesus Lord of your life. You don't pray, Lord, be my Savior. Because it's more about just getting saved from something. It's about making Him your Lord. Be my Lord. When He becomes your Lord, He also will become your Savior. And save you from sin and save you from yourself. But it is submitting yourself to the Lordship of Christ that allows you to step on God's side. And a lot of Christians have lost sight of the fact that when He is your Lord, that means you are not Lord anymore. You have become servant. You have become slave. Now, that's a word people don't want to talk about, but it's the truth. There is Lord, and then there is slave. And Paul said it over and over. I am a slave to Christ. I am a bond slave to Christ. He said in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Let me tell you something. Dead men have no rights. I've never seen a dead man argue or state his opinion or raise his hand to vote on something because they don't have rights. Dead men have no rights. Paul said in Galatians, don't you suppose that those of us who have been baptized in Christ have been baptized into His death? The crucified have given up their rights. If you are in Christ, then you are dead in Christ. You've been crucified with Him. You've given up your rights. Let me give you another illustration. Many times in the Word, we see the concept of being servants. Paul said it over and over. He was a servant. And we're told to be servants to the Lord and to be servants to each other and to be servants to the gospel. Most of the time, the word servant is talking about a slave and a master, not about serving tables, about being a slave. Slaves have no rights. They do what they're told. We're very quick about wanting to claim the benefits of being the child of God, but so very few of us are ever completely relinquishing our rights to the Holy Spirit. And you cannot receive the full benefits of a child of God until you have relinquished your rights before the King of Kings. You got to take your shoes off. No shoes allowed. No shoes. Relinquish your rights to the master. Relinquish your rights as a slave. When you relinquish your rights and turn over all of your rights to Him, then you will receive everything you are going to be given from your master, from your Lord, from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's our nature to want to do it our way. I know. Believe me, I know. Especially when we've determined that our way is good. You know, that's good is the worst enemy of best. And so we see good things. We see church work and religious work and giving and helping people. And those are good things, and we do them to perform good works. But I want to tell you something. Our way doesn't amount to a hill of beans. If it's not God's, if we're not on God's side and we haven't taken our shoes off before the Lord, then we're just doing good works. And the question remains, have you taken your shoes off? Have you relinquished your rights to Jesus? Have you said to Jesus, "Thy will be done"? You will never, 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 never accomplish your God-given purpose, child of God, till you have taken off your sandals, till you have relinquished your rights to Jesus. I mean, look at all that Moses accomplished. Arguably the central figure in the Old Testament, Moses, the lawgiver, the mediator of the law, the deliverer out of Egypt, all of that. Look at all that he accomplished. It's the first thing he did at the burning bush. Take your sandals off. Look at everything Joshua accomplished. The conquest of the promised land, Canaan. Before he left, they had taken back Canaan almost completely, victory after victory after victory. So many things Joshua led them to and through. But the first thing Joshua had to do was take off his sandals. Have you taken your shoes off? Why is it so important that we take our shoes off for Jesus? Why? Why does it have to be that? Well, I want to give you a couple of things. As this show and this teaching series comes to an end, a couple of things I want to do. Two things, really. Well, that's what a couple means, isn't it? First one, number one, why do we take our shoes off for Jesus? Number one, because He will not take His shoes off for you. I'm a father of three. Got a teenage boy. Let me tell you something. Here's a good rule. Fathers in the home of teenage boys, there ain't but one bull in that herd, and it better be you or the home is going to struggle. You got to be the leader of your home. Now, teenage boys tend to want to buck the system and try to feel their way out and find their independence and start trying to gain some control in their life. And that's natural to a sense, but you are in charge, right? Let me tell you something else. When it comes to you in Christ, He is in charge. He will not take His shoes off for you. And we see this in the New Testament represented in the form of the sandals again. Every gospel records what I'm going to read you out of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I just like the way that John the Baptist says it right here. And you'll be familiar with this, but here's Matthew 3, verse 11. Listen to the sandals show up again. John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me tell you this. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he is the greatest man born of woman. But John said of Jesus, I'm not fit to even touch his sandals. Let me let you in on a little secret. Jesus don't give up his rights. Okay, he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He said of himself, before Abraham was, I am. You see, he is the voice in the burning bush. He is the warrior at battle ready at Jericho in front of Joshua with his sword drawn. He bows to no one. The world is his footstool, the Bible says. He's not some mystical Monty Hall up in heaven saying, let's make a deal. He's God Almighty and he's saying, here is the deal. He has not come to take sides. He's not come to join your plans. He's come to take over, and he will not take his shoes off for you, for me, for anyone. Friends, there's coming a day, the Bible tells us this, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And let me explain something to you. In that moment, we will all kneel barefooted before Jesus Christ. We will all have relinquished all of our rights to him. I encourage you today, do it willfully, do it voluntarily, do it of your own choosing. While there's still time, take your shoes off before him, because if you don't, there is coming a day where God will force you to your knees and will strip your shoes off of your feet and hand them to his Son. All shoes will one day come off before Christ. Do it now. C.S. Lewis said it like this. It goes one of two ways. Either you stand before God and say, thy will be done, or there's coming a day where God will look at you and say, fine, then your will be done. If you want to choose to rebel, you'll get everything you ask for one day. You will kneel before God or Christ barefooted. You will. The Bible promises you that, but then you will have your will done as you head straight to hell for eternity. Take your shoes off now. He will not take off his for you. The second reason why we take our shoes off for him is this, because only when we take our shoes off can he perform the work he desires to do in us. Only then can he perform the work he desires to work in you. Let me read to you some scripture out of John 13. Starting in verse 3, you're going to recognize this, but Jesus, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, here's what he did. He rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded himself with. Let me ask you a question, man of God, woman of God. Let me ask you the question. It's an obvious question at this point. Before Jesus could wash the feet of the disciples, what did they have to do? They had to take off their shoes. They had to take off their sandals. They had to take the sandals off their feet for Jesus to begin a vital work. Imagine when we all get to heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know what that's going to look like. I've got ideas in my mind. Imagine that going on and we're rejoicing with one another and Jesus is there and he's laughing and we are fellowshipping like never before in the history of time. We are fellowshipping at that time and Jesus suddenly pushes back from the table and he stands up and the place gets quiet. Imagine as Jesus puts on the uniform of the servant. Imagine if he comes to you and kneels at your feet to wash your feet. In John chapter 13, verse 6, it says that he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered him and said, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will. Sometime after this, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said to Peter, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part in me. And Simon Peter said, Lord, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. Jesus doesn't want to remove your sandals because he's some kind of shoe collector, okay? He's wanting to put you in the right place and the right position, the right the posture that's necessary for him to perform a work in your life that you need so desperately. Child of God, truth seeker, he wants to make you whole. He wants to complete us. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to make you more like himself. But in order to do that, in order for him to bring this grand design to life in your life and in mine, in order to see this master builder do what only he can do, there's one prerequisite. You've got to take off your shoes. No shoes allowed. Jesus says, relinquish your rights to me, and I'll do more in you than you've ever dreamed. No shoes allowed. C.S. Lewis said it like this. Listen, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. And you knew all those jobs were needed doing. So you're not surprised at all. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on the earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house than the one you thought of. He's throwing out a wing here. He's putting up an extra floor there. He is running up towers. He is building courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into some decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. A palace that he intends to come in and to live in himself. God has a plan for your life, truth seeker. In order to start seeing him do what he so desires to do for you, you've got to be standing on his side, barefooted. No shoes allowed. No shoes allowed. I hope you have enjoyed this study. No shoes allowed. Are you barefooted before Jesus? We love you. Come back again next time. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.